Science and Technology.
Reproductive Health of Mice and Menses. New research models are helping solve the enduring mysteries of menstruation.
History offers no shortage of unhinged takes on menstruation. In 77 AD, Pliny the Elder claimed that contact with menstrual blood would turn crops barren and drive dogs mad. A medieval medical text warned that the presence of menstruating women would make men ill and that sex with them would cause cancer of the penis. In the first half of the 20th century, some theorized that periods contained toxins that could wilt flowers. Such thinking is, obviously, misogynistic nonsense, but menstruation, though not unnatural, is certainly unusual. Humans are among the very small proportion of creatures capable of the feat. That, coupled with the fact that scientists have historically shied away from studying menstruation, has made it far harder to understand the problems that can come with periods, or to develop treatments for them. Fortunately, researchers are now developing a suite of new tools to do just that. Questions about menstruation abound. Scientists are not sure why it evolved in humans, nor what constitutes a normal menstrual cycle. It is also not obvious what makes some bleed so much more or experience worse pain than others. The mechanisms behind many diseases related to the lining of the uterus or endometrium, such as adenomyosis or endometriosis, are frustratingly unclear. The lack of research has also damaged women's healthcare more broadly. Drug makers, wary of how bodily processes fluctuate during a menstrual cycle, have often preferred not to use women in research studies. That, in turn, has limited knowledge about how medical interventions affect female bodies. A study in 2020, for example, found that women experience adverse reactions to drugs nearly twice as frequently as men do, often because the wrong dosage is prescribed. To study a physiological process in the body often requires the use of model systems, animals whose organs or other bodily systems are physiologically similar to humans. Models for menstruation have proved scarce, however, since only 1.6% of all placental mammals regularly grow and shed the endometrium. Primates, such as orangutans and bonobos, menstruate, as do a handful of species of bats, elephant shrews, and a single rodent. In all other mammalian species, however, the endometrium is reabsorbed into the uterus at the end of each much longer menstrual cycle. Worse, the few species with female reproduction systems resembling humans generally make poor test subjects. Using primates is prohibitively expensive and ethically questionable. Bats fly off, and elephant shrews suffer in captivity. The lone menstruating rodent, a tiny mouse, has a disobliging tendency to slough off large quantities of skin when pursued, making them tricky to manage in a lab. Hilary Critchley, a consultant gynecologist and professor of reproductive medicine at the University of Edinburgh, and her colleagues have therefore spent over a decade trying to build a model system of menstruation by inducing the process in mice. This is doable, but difficult. The human menstrual cycle, amounting to the repeated injury and repair of the whole lining of the womb, is like a jigsaw, says Dr. Critchley, involving moving parts coming together with exquisite timing. Replicating menstruation in a mouse requires taking total hormonal control of the animal. First, the mouse's ovaries must be removed to stop the mouse's natural hormones from interfering, and then exact amounts of estrogen and progesterone must be administered and withdrawn at precise intervals. This forces the animal's endometrium to build up and break down as it does in humans when no fertilized egg is implanted. At the same time as optimizing their mouse model, Dr. Critchley's team has created a database of anonymized tissue generously donated by gynecological patients at various points throughout their menstrual cycles. Access to this resource has helped the researchers spot differences between patients who do and do not have menstrual bleeding problems, as well as how to mimic these in mice, allowing them to start unpicking how periods happen and how they can go wrong. Some of their most recent findings suggest that menstruation is an inflammatory process involving the body's immune system. They also found that a lack of oxygen in endometrial tissue is part of what drives its reconstruction. Faulty inflammation and regulation of oxygen supply within the endometrium may contribute to the abnormally heavy periods which affect as many as 1 in 3 women. These can often be debilitating. Dr. Critchley says that some of her patients lose the equivalent of a pint of blood, roughly a tenth of total blood volume, a month, risking both dangerous anemia and serious iron deficiency. Mouse models and patient samples can explain only so much on their own, however. For one thing, proper study of the uterus requires the whole organ to be removed. What's more, mice are frustratingly imperfect models. Although they share almost all their genes with humans, these are frequently expressed in different ways. This means that diseases and interventions against them can function quite differently in the two species. More than 80% of the drugs that reach clinical trials after showing promising results in mice, for example, do not end up working well in humans. Human cells are therefore needed. Such cells no longer have to be taken directly from a patient's body. Organoids, clusters of cells grown from a patient's stem cells and designed to resemble miniature, simplified organs, are already transforming research in fields from neurology to dentistry. But they lack complexity and are often held together in a gel-like medium that prevents proper communication between different cell types. This limits their usefulness in modelling processes like menstruation, which are strongly dependent on chemical signals sent between the two different types of cells that cover and support endometrial glands. Progress is being made. In 2023, a group of biological engineers and gynaecologists from American universities published a paper describing how they had successfully grown organoids of both endometrial cell types in a way that allowed crosstalk between them and let the endometrial tissue thicken in response to progesterone in a realistic way. But such combined structures still need to be connected up with simulations of blood vessels and immune cells, among others, before they can shed light on how the endometrium functions. Clues on how to do this may lie in an alternative way of modelling the uterus. Organs on a chip, also called microphysiological systems, are small circuit board-like devices in which minuscule cultures of human cells are connected via tiny channels. Blood-like liquid can then be pumped between them, allowing researchers to better simulate the environment within an organ. Some of the most advanced versions, pioneered by Linda Griffith and her team at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, are now more akin to a human on a chip, with up to 10 organs integrated in a physiologically representative way. The cell tissues used in chip-based organs are simpler and more artificial than those developed as organoids, but there is increasing ambition to combine the two technologies. This would, ideally, give researchers the best of both methods, the biologically realistic models offered by organoids, plus the ability to manipulate the environment around and between them. To understand the endometrium in particular, one more major hurdle then needs to be overcome. Assembling the exquisitely timed jigsaw of what goes where, when. Fortunately, this too is being tackled. In 2021, Rosaventu Tormo and her team at the Wellcome Sanger Institute, a research outfit in Cambridge, published the first map of the uterus lining to show how its architecture changes throughout a menstrual cycle. Taken together, these advances might finally allow scientists to arrive at a more complete model of the endometrium using human tissue. Indeed, Dr. Griffith and Dr. Ventotormo have received a grant from America's National Institutes of Health to do just that. When Dr. Critchley began her career in the 1980s, menstruation was described to her as an enigma. It has broadly remained so ever since. The advent of new modelling techniques, though, means that things are starting to feel different. The time is changing, she says. The phenomenon that so terrified Pliny is, almost 2 millennia later, slowly becoming explicable.